You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right now, we are witnessing a massive digital gold rush across the continent. New data shows a staggering 86% of African organizations are now making cybersecurity their number one priority, while 85% are scrambling to find anyone with AI expertise. The IT guy of yesterday is being replaced by the AI architect and cyber defender of tomorrow. But for the young people listening, those of you wondering what to study, what to Google, or how to get a job that actually pays the bills in 2026 and beyond, this isn't just news. It's your career roadmap. Today, we're breaking down the highest demand skills that will make you unfireable in the next 24 months. And here to have this conversation with me is none other than Dr. Nixon Sibanda. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bumi. How are you? It's great to be with you.
I'm doing well, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's a great year. We thank the Lord.
Yes.
Amazing opportunity to be alive at this time.
Most definitely. Let's get chatting, okay? Recent reports show that 86% of African organizations now prioritize cybersecurity, which is a huge jump from just a few years ago. Tell me, why has digital defense suddenly become a do-or-die priority for businesses on the continent? Or am I misspeaking by saying suddenly? Has this been a long time coming?
I think we have had quite a number of advances in terms of looking at digitization across Africa. We have seen some great gains that we have seen maybe in terms of moving businesses to be platforms. The platformization of business that moved, for example, in the space of fintech, we saw the coming up of people like Flutterwave. We've seen M-Pesa. Brought a lot of millions into the digital economy, and we've seen a lot of growth that has been exposed. So when we talk about what's happening at the moment, we are seeing that there is need for defense, because the more proliferation of digital businesses, there's going to be a need to be able to secure those assets, because there's going to be a lot of competition and bad guys are on the prowl as well.
100%, most definitely. And we're also seeing that 85% of companies are prioritizing AI development. Is this the AI boom? Or is this AI boom making the cybersecurity threat worse? Or is it actually the tool that will help us solve it?
I think it's both, Mpumi. It's both.
Okay.
What we are going to see is that AI is a double-edged sword. I think you know, like the Bible says that God's word is a double-edged sword. It is a double-edged sword. We look at attackers that are using AI to automate phishing and generative deepfakes. They're scanning for vulnerabilities at a scale. But at the same time, we see defenders that are using AI to detect threats and to be able to counter them at the same time. If you look what has happened maybe in the just past 24 hours, there was a big announcement or big news whereby people saying Twitter is out. If you looked at maybe earlier last year when Elon Musk was at the White House, there was time whereby he incensed everybody and people went and attacked his properties and businesses. So there was a lot of hackers that were attacking those businesses that were not happy. So you a lot of people that are coming there. So it's not only the AI development boom, but also there's also a rise in people that are seeing threats that are coming up as well.
I've seen that as well. I've seen it as well. Now, African organizations are facing over 3,100 cyber attacks per week. We're not talking in a year, we're talking per week. And this is 60% higher than the global average. Does this mean a young person starting a career here has more opportunity than their peer in Europe or the US?
I think there's great opportunities that are coming here. Mm. When you look at the greater the pain, the greater the gain mm-hmm. that you can be able to get.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity that Africa has. There's a massive cybersecurity skills shortage. If you look, I've worked within the fintech and also the digital space. We have a lot. If you look in the banks, there's a lot of, in South Africa in particular, there's a lot of people that are coming out of India to work. If you look at multi-choice, if you look at the banks, if you look at big fintech companies, there's imported a lot of skills coming out of India. Mm-hmm. But it means that there is, for young people, they grow faster, they could gain experience quicker, and then they can become globally competitive. We need to be able to say that African young people, there is a market for them. They can be able to grow, they can be able to mature. There are opportunities here which are coming faster than there could be when they are dealing with people in Europe. Whether you're in Johannesburg, whether you're in Nairobi, whether you're in Harare, if you have got the right skills, you can be able to see your opportunity rising up. I think if you go back, I think about 3 or 5 years back, there was some very young guys that were coming out of, like Stripe and others, that were coming from Nigeria. They rose up and took up multi-billion-dollar businesses that were, that they sold their businesses for multi-billions because they saw an opportunity and they were deep in Africa and they saw the need, and those businesses were acquired overseas.
Mm. And why are we seeing such a high rate of cyber attacks in the country? You would think that if criminals really want to criminal, they would go to first world countries, to developed countries. Why are the attacks so much here in Africa?
It's twofold. Number one, that we're experiencing a lot of boom. There's a lot of people that are coming up into tech because tech is becoming an equalizer. Mm. So the higher the opportunities, the more people vulnerable they will be. If you look at maybe what technology has done, we've gone through the last mile, we've gone through the digital, then we've gone through the mobile waves. Then a lot of people have now boomed into the cyberspace. Mm. And there's a lot of phishing. If you have looked maybe in South Africa, maybe in Kenya and other places, there's been a lot of phishing crimes. If you look at statistics, what has happened in Capitec and the other banks in South Africa, you'll see that especially the vulnerable, the people that are coming into technologies, that they are now on platforms, many of them have fallen into crime. Partly is because they sell, they are not able to be able to differentiate between phishing messages and those that are real opportunities that could be able to give them a better future.
Mm. So we are a little bit illiterate when it comes to cyber attacks, and that's why we're more prone. Is that what I should be gathering from your response?
They will also be throwing some. People have got, they think they can be able to come out of their problems very quickly. Mm-hmm. If you look at, for example, there were statistics that just came recently from South Africa that there was almost 2.1 trillion that has been spent on betting. And betting at the moment is gone via AI. Mm-hmm. And how much money has those people paid?
Hey.
They've paid 5 billion in terms of tax to the government, but they've collected over 2.1 trillion.
Ooh.
And the vast majority of the people that have been tricked, they are people that have come through AI, the opportunities, the hyper-personalization. When you have been betting, then they begin to send adverts to you, click on this, you're going to be winning millions, while in the actual fact, people have not been able to win. The actual payout versus what they have collected is less than 10%. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be able to be worried about that.
Mm. Oh, man, that is staggering. That is very scary. It would seem to me that the era of the general IT guy is fading. So for someone looking at 2025 and 2026, what are the top three specialized roles where they will find the most job security? And I'm even saying this hesitantly because we know that job security is really a myth.
I think one of the issues that people need to be able to realize, particularly young people, is that we are now in the era of skills.
Yeah.
A skill guy. The Bible says that show me a person that is your gift will bring you be in front of kings.
Show me a man skilled in his work. Yes.
A skilled man will be taken in front of kings. So you need to be really conscious of skills and skills in which we are dealing with at the moment. I think there have been people that are proponents and simply saying we need to deal with the decolonization of the minds because we are being trained to go and look for a job.
100%.
Whereas other people all over the world, they are not doing that. The youngest billionaires, I think that came in January this year or in December last year, were 21, 22, and 23. They were the youngest billionaires. They were in the AI space. And there were three friends that had just finished high school, and they were 21, 22, and 23. They've not been to college, but they've built up a multi-billion business that places IT people between India and USA and Silicon Valley, and they became billionaires. So you look at opportunities and simply say, where can the gap be? And then you'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So the jobs that you're going to deal with, number one, there's going to be cybersecurity analysts. There's going to be threat. You can go to Twitter, you can go to Pinet, you can go to the job portals where you are and just type AI jobs, AI roles, cybersecurity. You'll see there's going to be a lot of stuff. There's also going to be like cloud security specialists, because now the businesses are moving into platforms. You no longer need a server in your business. You can now be able to rent space on cloud and you can be able to work anywhere in the world. You can be able to work on your mobile. I work out of a mobile phone. I work out of a tablet. I work out anywhere where I am. My business is working because we are in the cloud platform stuff. So we have got companies that move to platforms like Amazon Web Services, to Google Cloud, and they also need experts to secure those environments. The third one, we need AI security governance experts, because most of the people that's jumping into AI, I think if you look at a few years ago, every person was talking about 4IR, 4IR. Ask yourself, where is 4IR at the moment? Where is IoT at the moment? All those things have been overcome because technology is an equalizer and technology moves. So AI security threats, there's governance experts. These are new fields, and not only new to us, but new globally. Because what has been happening in 25 and 26 is shifting and equalizing. Today, if you are a young person in Johannesburg, in Harare, in Lagos, or in Kenya, you can be able to compete with young people in the Silicon Valley, in London, in Madrid, because the skills that you are learning and some of the courses, they are 2 weeks, they are 3 weeks, they are 60 hours. You need discipline and look at continuous improvement to be able to do that. So the general IT guy doesn't work anymore. We need guys that are going to be agile, that are going to be improving every single day, because the threats and the environment that you're working in is changing every day.
Sure. Before we move forward, I want to take us back a bit. You know, the more you're speaking, the more I'm listening to you right now, I'm realizing that I might just know a little, and I mean a fraction, a modicum of AI, really. It sounds like it is this whole world that is hidden to those who only know ChatGPT to be their new Google. When we talk about AI and its capabilities and perhaps some of the things that can be done, what are we really talking about? Can you peel back some of those layers for somebody who's considering a career really that is driven or that has AI as a foundation to know exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about artificial intelligence?
Okay, I think when you look at intelligence, maybe we are looking at what the mind can be able to do in terms of reasoning. Because when you look at what AI can do, AI doesn't only regurgitate what you are asking. Mm-hmm. It can reason. It can decide. Mm-hmm. It can make some of the critical thinking. Mm-hmm. But when we are looking at particular, which is important for us now, is you need to be able to simply say, what are the opportunities that are rising there? What is AI? Because most of us maybe know what we know maybe is ChatGPT. That's the only thing that we do.
Yes.
many of us are very bad with technology. I think that I'm not sure how many of us know of people that are carrying an iPhone 17 or iPhone 16, which is worth 3,000 rand. And only thing that they do is to be able to do selfies for Instagram and nothing more, or receive calls, which you can be able to do with dumb calls. So technology scales and technology improves. So AI will be able to help you to be able to learn quicker, to be able to reason, to be able to improve productivity. There's AI that can be able to plan your calendar, to plan, to reply your email, to schedule people, to fly. We've got automated, we have self-driving cars at the moment. We have self-driving cars. There's a lot of stuff that needs to do. We have got warfare. Warfare has changed. There's war in Ukraine. Many of us, people, when they hear that there's going to be opportunity for people to go and fight in Ukraine, they just thought we've been soldiers, we've been trained, we're going to go and fight. But when you get trained, you find that those guys are using drones. They are no longer going to be in the front line anymore. They are sitting out in a box anyway, and they're managing territories which are vast and send out weapons that you are going to be like flies all over the sky and managed by one person. So what we need to be able to do, we look at opportunities. Where are the opportunities? Could it be maybe in the warfare space? Could it be in defense space? Could it be in fintech? We are talking about M-Pesa. We're talking about MTN mobile money. We've got in Zimbabwe, we've got EcoCash. There's a lot of opportunities that are rising. So when you are thinking, don't only think about just text and writing. There are people at the moment that already are working and producing music that is sold on Spotify. And all they do prompt engineering. You sit down and tell prompts what genre you want, how long the song you want, what beat you want, what instruments you want, what voice, what does it look like. You can be able to do that. Even in advert space, there are now adverts that are created fully on AI. So there's a lot of space that you can be able to do with AI.
What has been the craziest, and maybe not craziest, but like the wildest and most impressive use of AI that you've come across?
I think it's quite, I'm a person that is interested in politics and geopolitics. And I think recently, if you're in South Africa recently, there has been there was an incident in Pretoria, I think in December, whereby somebody went and somebody was live on Instagram and somebody snatched their phone.
Yes.
Instantly, the AI people were able to take their facial recognition and be able to test them. They got his Instagram, they got his people. Within 24 hours, he was arrested. This is not what was happening a year and a half ago. In South Africa, we had so many churches that were attacked. We had an SDA church in downtown Joburg that they walked inside. You could see in their faces, but you could not be able to relocate. But now people, AI has done that. We have had an incident this week whereby an e-hailing driver was murdered. But within seconds, the people went online. They took the visual facial recognition. They were able to resolve the crime in seconds. So what you are doing, that the capability, and most of these people that we're talking about, they are people that have done no coding. They've never been to school. So we have come to an era which we can call a no coding age, whereby AI doesn't need you to go and do a 4-year degree in IT, engineering, and so forth. You don't even need coding to do these things. You just need to be able to learn and do the right prompts, and you'll be successful.
And what about those who have done the coding, those who have studied IT? Do they have an added advantage to how rapidly things are going? Like, do they actually, is there something that is unique about them that they can use even in the market or just generally?
I'm a firm believer of education. I value skill.
Yeah.
I value discipline.
Yeah.
So any person that has sat in a class and had the discipline to listen to an instructor and the tutor for 3 or 4 years or 6 months, 1 year, that person is a far advantage than the person that comes up.
I agree.
Also, we need to be able to say that value education, value skills, because it doesn't only teach you how to solve problems. It teaches you how to
How
think.
to
It teaches you
think.
How to relate to other people. It teaches you how to resolve deep problems. It teaches you culture that you might not be able to find when you're doing other stuff. So
That's
it's
so
not,
good.
If you have watched I Blew It, I Blew It teaches us the instant gratification era, whereby if you do not have the capacity or the structure, you are not going to be able to maintain it and multiply it.
Yeah.
If you can't be able to budget 100 rand, you are not going to be able to manage when you win 1 million. In a few days, you'll have blown it up.
That's so true.
So technology and training is important so that one day when you have outside, you have depth, you can be able to sit down in a boardroom and articulate the business side of things, because you can have a skill, but unless and until how to monetize it, how to take it to the market, you do not have a business.
You know, I so agree with what you're saying. And funny enough, earlier today, I read a post by an academic who was lamenting on the fact that he was doing peer review on someone's thesis or someone's paper. And he was so disappointed because he could tell almost instantly that the paper was, all of it was generated by a machine, was generated by AI. And he says what's most disappointing is that he was the third peer review. Two others before him had accepted this paper. Of course, he rejected it. And in the end, it was rejected. And what he's speaking to is, and he was saying as well that you could tell that some of the diagrams and the language, because it was neatly packaged, was generated by AI. But the thing that stood out for him was the hallucination that AI produced. And we know this has been said from the very beginning that AI hallucinates. And what I'm hearing you say with the combination of this technology and actually being trained and skilled is that when it does hallucinate, you're able to correct it. You're able to bring it back. Otherwise, if all you have is a technology and the tool, you won't know when the tool is misleading you. You won't know when it's doing something it's not supposed to do, because the one who's trained would pick it up from the very beginning. And so I absolutely agree that there is great value to using your brain and training your brain to work such that when there are things that are presented that aren't up to par or up to scratch, you're able to pick it up and correct it.
That's absolutely important. I think here's one thing which for me, I'm a firm believer in AI. A few years back, there was a young person from Nigeria that went to a UK university and produced a 4-minute rap song that was his thesis. And then he passed. Most of the challenges that we do have, even if you have read stuff and written it, hard labor on your own self. It's not, we are in the new era whereby we need to be able to embrace technology, and technology must not be punished. It must be encouraged. So I hold a different view. I said, encourage people to use AI, use it responsible, because the task that you are doing by 20, 30 people is what can be done by one person.
Yeah, in such a short space of time.
Such a short space of time. And that's important. I've said this to people, say that, but it's generated by AI. I say, so what? Let me give you an example. You maybe from when you are sitting here doing interviews with me, you might be Googling, what am I going to eat tonight?
Yeah.
It will give you a recipe of what you want to do. Unless you have got the skill, you will have a recipe, but you can't cook.
That's true. That's true.
So even AI, because with AI, if you do not, that training which you talked about, the reasoning, the capability, the thinking, the questioning, so that you can be able to find the hallucinations, those are the things and the values that you need to do. But above that, let's encourage people to be able to use AI to learn, and to simply say that until you know the actual prompts and how to do it, even if you have done the recipe, you won't cook. But because I know I've done the recipe, with AI. I know how to cook. I'm going to do the task maybe 95% quicker than you.
Mm. Oh, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Encourage the skill as well.
100%. And beyond just knowing AI, what specific skills? And I'm so glad you spoke about skills. In fact, when you were speaking about it in the beginning, I was very curious to have you unpack what skill is, because someone can be hearing skill and then they think expertise or competence or knowledge. So when we talk skill, what are we really talking about? And now that we know that AI is such a big thing, beyond just knowing the tool, beyond just knowing the technology, what other specific skills are employers looking for?
I think if you go and at the moment just say deep data analyst, you will find thousands of jobs, because in this age of AI and a lot of information, the quality decisions that needs to be done are not only done by machines, but they need to be done by somebody that thinks and makes decision.
Yeah.
So when you talk about data literacy and the ability to interpret insights, it's just amazing. I had an amazing stuff that I learned last week in one of the newsletters.
Mm.
Guys, go to Twitter, go to LinkedIn, follow trendsetters and learn what they're doing. I saw an amazing stuff that somewhere in America this week or last week, they were able to feed in images into AI, and it was able to diagnose and give a diagnosis almost 99% of the times using data interpreting images, so that in terms of waiting for you to ask doctors to go and do bloods and this and that, it quickened the decision, and then you have 99% or responsibility that has already been done by AI. Now you can give to a surgeon, they can be able to ask a colleague everywhere in the world to be able to help interpret, and in a few minutes you could be able to bring in surgeries quicker, information quicker, and you're going to be able to save lives. Mm-hmm. So data interpretation is critical. Number two, there's secure coding and systems thinking, because machines alone cannot be able to do that.
Mm.
Also, we need to be able to find people that are going to be able to police and manage AI agents, because they have got different ways. I think you've seen overseas, there is Open AI was being sued because the AI agents were encouraging somebody else to be able to commit suicide because they're telling it's hopeless. For us to be able to do that, there's automation, there's scripting. We talked about automation, that the warfare in somebody that is directing attack, maybe in Iran or in Gaza, might be sleeping in a container in a desert in the USA. To be able to manage drones and attack with precision and to be able to do those issues. And sometimes we've got, they said Israel is most defended nation, but Iran was able to send missiles that were able to penetrate this most secure missile dome in the whole world, because AI is able to manage things and quickly change and make decisions that can outwit things that in seconds. There's also risk management and compliance, because these things are quick. In terms of AI, we'll be able to look and say that, what are the patterns? These patterns are not correct. These might be repetitive. This must look like a machine. This might not look like a human being. Either it's coming up at the wrong time, either it's not the same pattern that has been done, either it's repetitive machines, either it's outside of the territory, either this person that has been hacked is not at work. Because you can be able to look at what are the patterns. It can go a few months or years back. It can look at now. It can look at predictive AI. Those are important things that we need to do. And lastly, communication, because translating technical risks and business leaders need to be able to look at what is the valuable information. How can we be able to communicate? Because communication means different things. How do you decode the information? As I'm speaking now, somebody else is thinking, people are going to be listening differently and interpreting things differently. And so it's important how to manage communication as a skill for people that are doing AI.
Mm-hmm. Doc, you can imagine my amusement about a week or two ago when I read or when I came across research that indicated that a significant number of companies that initially, between the years 2022 and 2024, aggressively laid off staff to replace them with AI, are now experiencing regrets. About 55% of these employers regretted their decisions. And some of the reasons that they cited, which is what we're speaking about here, which is the merging or the pairing of AI with these other skills, are this. Please listen. Number one, lower quality and customer revolt. So what they found is that these AI tools or this AI fails to handle these complex, empathetic, nuanced tasks. And as a result, customers have been feeling less satisfied than when they were actual humans in these organizations. Another one, which I know you will love, is the loss of institutional knowledge. These companies lost experienced staff, and it made it so difficult to maintain that operational efficiency. And there's so many more reasons that I came across when I was reading up on this fascinating breaking news. But the point here is yes, the tool is there. Yes, the intelligence, the artificial intelligence is there. But there is our human intelligence too that comes in relating to people, in thinking beyond what is just presented, and so many other things. In times past, they would call it soft skills. And those soft skills are not so soft when you realize just how important people want to feel connected and to see humans and interact and know that they are understood and they are thought of more than just being addressed by a robot or being sent a robot by a particular company. What are your thoughts on this regression and the regret that these companies are experiencing?
I think this is a very, very important. If you look at call centers, many of the call centers that were in the other world have been shifted to Africa because, number one, the cost was cheap. Mm. But if you look at many years ago when we wanted to do with something else with, let me use an example, with MTN, you call 173 and you'll find an agent on the other side, yes, to be able to work with you.
Yeah.
But now they said, you are talking to a robot and sometimes it doesn't understand. Mm. I've had the frustration when I'm dealing, let me use an example with Rain, the internet company.
Yeah.
And every single day I'm getting the same response. And for 3 months I'm not getting that. If
it's
you
not
go to
site
like not intelligent,
yeah,
it's not empathetic.
Yeah.
If you're breaking down because you want your kid to be is not feeling well, you want transport to take them there, you've got medical aid, and you're talking to somebody that you have already done limits. If you're talking to an individual, they will escalate you to their supervisor and your issue can be resolved.
Yeah.
So these are the issues that you're talking about. And also when you talk about that they lost skills, they lost people, they lost institutional memory, people that had been the backbone. Because sometimes you find that it's not necessarily, I sat in a meeting with colleagues, some of the mind-blowing ideas came from cleaners. Now you've sent everybody away to go and work remotely, and they're no longer interacting. They're no longer asking people that are asking every day, how are you? What are you doing? How can I resolve this? I'm frustrated. Mm. Then you get people that do not have those skills or responsibilities coming up and giving you breakthroughs. Mm. So it's important for us to think that way. And when we think that we will need to harness and utilize the skills that other people have, because no machine doesn't have empathy.
No, and it can't. Which is so funny to me, because these machines were fed by humans. So clearly it's not even about how much, because I was listening to a podcast yesterday and the lady was talking about how she was feeding AI or teaching AI, a psychology AI, to be able to interact with kids who are just confused about life and, you know, just want to understand certain decisions and certain things that they're going through. And I know that all of these AIs have been fed by humans, right? They've been fed the intelligence and the wit and all of that by humans. But for some reason, even with all that input that came before you and I put a prompt, there is still that in the moment, knowing what to do, understanding how someone feels. Maybe understanding is a bit of a stretch, but being able to sympathize with how somebody is feeling, that allows you or renders you a much better interaction point than any AI ever could.
I think we need to look at this way. One time I had a big revelation. I was sitting down with my kids. My eldest son used to love the cartoons, these Japanese. It's called, no, said, no, it is not cartoons. It's called anime.
Anime, please, come correct.
And I said, no, these are Popeyes and cartoons. I'm an old stock ancient. Yeah. But here's what I'm saying. Have you realized that even for many, many years, those cartoons that were mimicking kids, they're not kids that were saying those things. They were adults. So the things that we were saying, these are what kids are saying. They're not kids. They're adults that are acting kids. And those thoughts and stuff, they're adults that are planting in them. If you look at what happened in America during what they call the woke movement, whereby they will simply say that every young child is gender neutral. You are not male. You are not female. You can decide. You can be confused. And then there was a time, because these things were being fed, there was a time by the same time, 3 out of 4 kids were gender confused. Because these things mimic and they do. And imagine these things being fed to the children, getting psychologists. If look at there's a language, there's a term that is being used in psychology, what's they call labeling. Sometimes they are not able to do stuff. They will come and say they label a phenomenon that they cannot understand and create a new label. And then people begin to think that way, begin to behave that way, because the psychologists have no clue what they're talking about. Well, they've got a clue, but they're trying to bring in new things. And those things sometimes, they are causing us confusion. So it's important for us to really think, even when we are dealing with these issues, how do we manage? How do we manage so that AI stays and still becomes safe? How do we manage so that AI does not take away from us what we need, what we're able to do?
Oh, I absolutely love that. And, you know, I've seen the difference between applying for a job internationally and applying for a job here in South Africa. And in South Africa, the primary thing you have to lead with is your qualification. Do you have a degree? And not so much overseas. It's more lax. It's more flexible. They really want to know that you can do the job, that you're intuitive and all of that. And I'm thinking about somebody who feels like, can I actually get into this field or to an AI, into an AI related field without a 4-year degree? Or am I going to be forced to have some sort of degree in order for me to enter the space and to thrive?
I think we need to understand that the world has changed.
Yeah.
Yes, degrees do matter.
Yeah.
I think I need to say, I will not be having 5 degrees if they never matter. They do matter. I know I've heard people that say, no, degrees don't matter. I simply say that you are not going to think like I do, because degrees do matter.
Yes.
I've paid money for them.
Yes.
I've sat down at the feet of the amazing people. I've listened, I've been disciplined.
You've applied yourself because
degrees do matter. But however, in this age that we're living in, I'm going back to what we talked about in the beginning. What Papa says, that show me a skilled person, he will stand in front of kings. Skills will make a difference. But also here, you need to be able to listen. I saw an amazing video that a few years back, I think in 1999, very 20-something young guys went into Yahoo and simply say we've got a search engine. Mm. We want to be able to sell it to you. Mm. They said, no, we don't want it. And then those were the Google guys.
Mm.
And Google far outweighs Yahoo at the moment.
Yeah.
In early 90s, there's some young guys went to Blockbuster Video and said people would love to watch their movies on the internet, and they wanted to sell Netflix for 50,000. Mm. Those guys said get lost.
Mm.
But now Blockbuster Movies closed.
It went out of business.
Yes, and Netflix mm. is a multi-billion business.
Mm.
So the skill, do not undermine your skill. The mm. people that made those decisions were very educated people,
mm.
but they disregarded skilled mm. people that were. Look at what has happened now. MTV after 40 years closed in December.
Oh man.
MTV was a huge global icon,
mm.
but they closed. They have no business. YouTube has closed them down.
Eish.
So in essence, we need to be able to realize that mm. it is skill. A skilled person can be able to outsmart the other, use skill. And part of what we're dealing with is continuous improvement. Mm. Take the certificate, go to Cisco, go to CompTIA, go to IS, go to Microsoft, go to Amazon Web Services. They've got a lot of good qualifications they can be able to do. Follow people that are doing webinars.
Mm.
They've got amazing stuff. There's amazing opportunities that you can be able to do.
Mm.
So yes, a degree is important, but skills, at the moment, many of the people that are leading, they have no degrees,
mm.
but they've got skills. You can be able to be skilled and make a huge difference mm. in the industry.
Oh, dog, you know, I've got so many questions that I want to ask you, but I'll ask you this one because in my mind, I'm anticipating how you'll respond. But in my other mind, I'm like, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised by the response. So I'll ask you because I don't know which mind will win. And I'm fascinated to hear how you'll respond to this. You know, you're talking about skills so emphatically. And the truth is our job market hasn't quite caught up. Our corporates haven't caught up. They will see no qualification and just throw your CV into the bin. Or they'll say they want a marketing degree and you've got the skill of marketing because you've either been running your own social media or running other social media platforms, or you just have a knack for this thing. And they'll throw your CV into the bin because it does not have this thing that they're looking for. So how do we, in our current climate, and of course I want people to think broadly and not just continentally, but internationally in terms of where they apply themselves. But for somebody who wants to be local, right, who still wants to impact this space and this country, but they realize that our job market hasn't quite caught up to what matters and what is significant in today's world. How do they then bring this skill to the top and showcase what they're able to do if the thing that precedes them is one that primarily recognizes and wants to see the qualification? What do people do with the skill in a climate that isn't quite ready to catch up to the reality of what works?
I think you must pay attention to gatekeepers.
Mm.
I'm a pastor now,
mm-hmm.
but for 40 years I've been a Christian.
Yeah,
and I'm using this example as an example,
mm.
and I for literally 35 years or 38 years I was a volunteer in church,
mm.
in different ministries, mm. and one of the struggles that I was getting is people that were employed full time in church,
mm.
that closed all of us out and closed all our gifts.
Mm.
And then people are like you're not.
Mm.
The people that are gatekeepers at the moment that are telling you qualification,
mm.
once you come with that qualification, you need to realize that they are going to change and say, we want experience.
Oh, man. The goalpost just keeps moving.
People, they keep on changing the goalposts. So you need to be clever. Let me tell you one secret, which I found out. I had a very interesting discussion with the former minister of Home Affairs.
Come on.
And he was discussing about there was an issue whereby they're talking about the critical skills. Sometimes if people want to come to South Africa and remain and get a visa, they must be on what is called the critical skills list. Every 6 or every year, the government updates those critical skills. And one of the things that was surprising them is that when they updated it, in 6 months, almost all those critical skills, there are now people that are coming which are foreign that has got those skills.
Oh, man.
So every single time they were beat in their game. But why am I talking about this? I'm talking about because you must be agile. You must be able to continuously improve yourself. If the system scheme is shifting, shift as well. If they want the experience, go and volunteer. If they want a driver's license, get a driver's license. If they want, we have talked about platforms at the moment. You might not have a fleet of cars, but imagine Uber, imagine Taxify. How many opportunities have these platforms created for local people? Imagine Airbnb. Every person can now plug into AI, into this, and offer their services.
Look at
many times people talked about Harvard and all these Cambridge's, the most expensive school. Look at what technology has done. Look at we've got what called Get Smart now. People can be able to access those courses even for free. So all I'm simply saying that there are so many opportunities for you to be able to do. When they come and tell you do not have enough experience, what you need or qualification, please go and improve yourself and come with a certificate that is relevant in 2024. When we are sitting at the moment, we get people that are coming up with HIV and AIDS counseling certificates. Things have shifted a bit. Are there other opportunities that you need to be able to do? Because life moves, situation moves. You need to be able to look and simply say, go and ask AI, what are the critical skills that I need to have in the next 5 years? So that you do not go to university and study a course that you're going to come and tell us is useless. So let me ask this, maybe young people listening here, particularly black young people. For young people that are going into universities this year, here's the tragedy. Let's say 600, maybe let's say 200,000 went to university. And they're doing a 4-year degree. Only 20% are going to be able to graduate in 4 years, particularly black people. Because we have not been counseled enough. They'll change courses. They will not apply themselves. They will fail. They will not be able to do that. All I'm asking for is to simply, let's look at opportunities that are going to be able to make us relevant. Look at, say, what are the skills that are important? Am I having a chance? We had an issue here whereby simply say UJ collected 695,000 people registered for courses, and they only had 16,000 spaces. So they already made 138 million before any person started paying.
Imagine.
So all I'm saying that young person think that 300 rand which you are throwing away because you have not gone to the internet cafe and researched, you have not used your phone. Instead of playing games and instead of being on social media only, even on social media, I'm on social media. I'm learning these things on social media. I'm following the right people that do AI that are on social media. So think about that thing as well.
Yeah, I love it. And I sort of anticipated that it would go in that direction. And I think my contribution as we wrap up would just be applying ourselves, you know, and maybe I'm speaking from a point of privilege or from a place of privilege when I say it's so important that you apply yourself beyond wanting opportunities to be created for you. I mean, what you're saying is such an important thing. And we've always known this, that it's not that we're not smart, that we're not getting these spaces in these universities. In fact, I'm willing to argue that so many more of us are brilliant, but our capacity, or the capacity that these universities have, is just little compared to, I can't remember even the stat, the number of universities in a single state in America, far outweigh in some countries that we have here on the continent. And so we have to really, and I think this is a point that we've been talking about this entire time, that one needs to be able to apply themselves beyond what already exists. If the job cannot absorb you, you do something with the skill that you have that will solve a problem that people are going to pay for. There's absolutely no reason why anyone shouldn't be able to live and sustain their living when they've got a skill. Maybe they don't have the qualification as yet, but that can come at a later stage. But with the skill, with the tools, with the universe so open, or the globe so open to us because of social media, there's absolutely no reason why we cannot apply ourselves beyond the constructs that already exist.
Here's one thing which I think our people need to learn. I've been in business for quite some time, and I'm going to use the Zulu word or Nguni word, whereby people look at you are doing in radio, they'll come and see me say, "I'm Pumagung Fagenam."
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Plug me.
Yeah.
Everybody just wants to be plugged in. Many years ago, when I was growing up, I grew up in Zimbabwe. In the late 80s, people that had not passed, they were going to do dressmaking. Everybody else was doing dressmaking. Everybody else was going to do typing. Typing was a qualification. They go to typing. When people wanted to do security, everybody else wanted to be a security guard. So when there's AI, everybody's running to AI. Let me use an example. Some of the issues of the future are not going to change. I'm talking about your plumber.
Yeah.
Your plumber charges more than your doctor. Your electrician, your builder, your mechanic. These are some of. Instead, I know a lot of people are going to say, "I want to be in AI." If you ask them, many of the people that are not getting place in universities, they have put themselves out of the market, but because they have not researched where are things going to be. Are you going to be a plumber? Are you going to be a bricklayer? Are you going to be in the construction space? Are you going to be a surveyor? Are you going to be a town planner? Are you going to be... There's a lot of opportunities in that space. So we ask our people, so that everybody starts tomorrow, everybody wants to go and do AI in university. We need doctors.
We do.
We need doctors. We need landscape architects. We need builders. We need plumbers, we need electricians, we need architects, we need veterinary surgeons. There's a lot of opportunities and things even outside of AI, so that tomorrow we don't say that we've got oversupply of skills.
Yes.
But also think outside your own borders. Why do we have Indians in South Africa? Because they've thought outside their own borders.
Oh, Doc, when I come down to Kuluma now, and I gather you're also somebody who loves to speak. And if we continue, we will never stop, and we are out of time. But thank you so much for your passion. Thank you for your wisdom. And thank you for spending this time with us this evening. Highly appreciated.
Thank you, Mpume. Much appreciated. Thank you for the opportunity that you've always given me. I really, really appreciate it. And I pray that our young people are able to follow us, follow on social media, learn, and follow other people, not only us, but follow other people that we are learning from every day, and they will benefit as well.
100%. Thank you, Doc. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Good.
And with that, I am Nompumele Lombonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.